All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? On a partly cloudy Tuesday afternoon with Game 5 in front of us and a chance for the Rockets to make a statement. Moving on to the second round, your Astros are in Cleveland for a fairly big early season series.
Yeah,
right?
The land.
Potentially a preview of the American League Championship Series.
Well, if they were healthy, I'd agree.
Who is they?
Springer may not play still.
All right. Mariznick's working out now.
They're saying he might. Mariznick there were concerns of a concussion.
He's taking BP right now.
Okay.
With Hinch watching.
Okay. Good.
Yep.
So if those guys play, then yeah, it could be. Who's pitching?
Well, I unfortunately have to inform you that your guy is pitching one of the three games, Mike Fiers.
Oh, good Lord.
Keuchel's pitching the last game in
the
series.
Good.
Yeah, I believe it's McCullers tonight, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll see it should be an interesting series, and if you haven't seen Cleveland yet, and to see how stacked they are, then now's your chance.
Yeah, they're loaded. Hopefully the Astros are too. Obviously pitching is going to be on the forefront of what everybody's going to be looking at just to see where they are, how they stack up, and do they need to make a move or two between now and the trade deadline just simply because of the fact that's the one area that they may be less than stellar is starting pitching. But it's been, for the most part, with the exception of one guy, which we already mentioned,
right.
I don't think that they've been that bad.
Nope.
They've been fairly good.
Yeah. I pulled up some stats and posted them on Twitter, and I'll have to go back and find them. I'll find them and give them to you before the hour's up, but you'd be surprised at how well they're pitching right now.
Yep.
Top 5, top 10 in some of the categories in the majors. Not just the AL, but the majors. So, looking good.
Dollar hot dog, dollar beer, dollar soda night tonight at Toyota Center, because there's no subliminal message behind it that you might have been on in the past week or so.
What?
If you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Can you be bribed? Can you be bought?
Me, personally?
Well, and as a fan base, are
I'm super easy.
Are you offended by that, or are you okay with
that? No, I'm super easy. You can buy me, and if it works to my benefit, I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're, and it pisses me off because I'm not going tonight.
You're not?
No. And Nick and I always go and eat, and it's expensive. And
do they make you have to pay for media food?
Yeah.
Yep.
And what is it? How much?
$7.
That's not bad.
No, Astros, that's expensive. But if you don't want what they have, then you go outside and eat, and that's when it's like $15-$20.
Right.
But we could just partake in the dollar hot dogs, and we can't have beer. But
we can't have beer. I would never have beer.
I would
never. Beer.
But soda.
No.
Ever.
But so he has a camel pack he puts on his back. That's why he wears a big shirt.
Then
he
has two straws. Because I didn't know where you were going at first.
But, no, yeah. But then he puts a straw in there and he drinks. That's how he gets. Nick is just, he's hammered by the end of the game.
Not the batter's helmets? With the can on either side?
No, he does
with
that
the straws
at the
coming down?
He does that at the Astros game.
You can get away with it at the Astros game. It's a bigger venue. Or
that's
it feels
true.
Like a bigger venue.
That's true.
So, and by the way, Keuchel and Tomlin tonight for the Astros Indians.
Nice. Nice.
In the first of the three game. So, I'm just wondering as a fan base. I know there was a huge back and forth on Twitter. Nick, you know, you as well as Barry, being Houstonians for life here, have been here through the thick and the thin of it. A lot of people on Twitter offended by the fact that they feel like they're being bought off. Like, the whole reason is not to, like, celebrate with the fans and give them a chance to get some cheap food. It's that they've struggled to try and we've all said this. I mean, Barry, you were on it, I think, a week ago. Nick, you and I have been on it throughout the course of the season, too. It's just not an early arriving crowd. And they don't get there early. They don't fill up the lower bowl. And it's primarily because it's corporate seats that people don't care about, right? But at the same time, it's a hot button for the organization. Now people are offended because they're saying, oh, you're only doing this for an hour early in the pregame because you want us to be there in time so that we fill the building. Is that a problem?
I'm not questioning whether or not fans are being offended, but if they are, I'm assuming there are. But if you are that fan that's offended, shame on you. Like, get to the game. You shouldn't be offended that,
you know,
that they're throwing that out there. Now, as a Rockets fan, I'm going to admit it's a bad look, and I've told you this before the show. I think it's a bad look, but I can see why they're doing it. I mean, they just don't have that early attendance in the season or in the playoffs.
I'm
they
with
just
you.
Don't.
I'm with you. And, you know, like when we were at game two, mm-hmm. I took a picture at the start of the game. It was 2-2. Mm-hmm. Tweeted it out. And there was a little bit of a scrum on Twitter where people were defending it. Mm-hmm. And saying, "Oh no! This is like it's like this all over the NBA. Houston is so spread out; it's hard for people to get home with the kids and then drive back and make it for 7 o'clock. They need to do 8 o'clock games and this, that, and the other." And it's like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I know if I had kids, mm-hmm. then I would have planned for that because I don't want to leave the area near the stadium to drive out to the suburbs and drive back
right.
again.
Right.
That makes no sense. So I would do the best I could. Like right now, if my wife and I go catch a game, we meet down there after work. I'm not going home first. That's ridiculous.
Well, and here's the thing. They've been focused on it, and no matter how many times they've changed the start times, and they've changed the start times over the years, you're never going to please everybody all the time. So you're always going to get someone that says it's too late, and I can't keep my kids up that late,
yep.
or it's too early, and I can't get out of work that early. Now Raheel had a good point, too, which was instead of doing this with the food, how about you do it with the parking? How about you reduce parking or make free parking and take the money you would have saved, you know, or spent by doing all this with the food and go buy a couple lots up and say, get here and we'll park, you know, you park for free and you get in the building.
Because they're still making money on the food.
Sure they are.
They're still at least breaking even. They'll lose money on the parking. A lot of money because parking is essentially a $0 investment, especially what they have. I mean, it already exists. You know what I mean? I'm
yep.
sure there's some sort of amortized cost if you really got nerdy about it. But that food is an actual cost right then and there. My thing is, would you rather have them, if you started at 8, would you rather have them come early and leave early or come late and stay for the fourth quarter?
See,
because that's what's going to happen.
I think the big thing is you need them when the game means the most. So I would say just from a straight sports perspective, I would say you need them to be there in the second half when it means the most.
I think the first half, because if you keep the game close, if the Rockets keep the game close, that should be enough to entice them to stay. That's what the Rockets fans want to see. They want to see that the Rockets have a legitimate shot to whichever game they attended. And as long as they feel like they have a chance to win, they'll stay. Now, if they're whooping up on the team by 20 points, I can see them leaving. But if you get them early, and especially in a playoff game, I think you have a better chance of them staying more time.
But if you're using kids as an excuse, which I think some people are, for not making, then you're going to have to leave no matter what. Whether they're in it or not, if you're starting late, they're going to have to leave early.
I don't have kids. And Joel, you guys could probably answer this, but don't you just kind of chalk up that night when you tell your kids, all right, we're going to go to the Rockets game. You're making the assumption that, all right, they're going to be up late. If there's school the next night, like do your work, like let them sleep in and then get the work that they made up the first 2-3 hours of school they missed that day and have them make it up. Or, you know what I mean? Just, it should be already known, guys, this is going to be a late night. This is a fun night. We're rewarding you because you did well in school, whatever. And just stay the whole game. Or do you absolutely have to leave if you have kids?
I mean, Taylor really had a problem with it, and she decided that if I didn't fix it quickly, she'd get a lawyer.
Taylor's a bit young.
Yeah.
What if someone
No, but for kids-wise, I would say this, Nick. I would say on a weeknight, don't get tickets for the family. Then, you know, take someone from work or just don't, you know, if they're not your season tickets or they're not your tickets, then get them on the weekends because it is really hard with a family. And you do really have to worry about getting them to bed at a decent hour or the next day is going to be hellacious. But I think then you just plan accordingly. You know what your schedule is. You know, like I know during the week we can't do it with our schedule, but we could do it on weekends. So then as a family, we'd probably go to a weekend game as opposed to a middle of the week game where it would be tough. Because as a fan, I don't want to leave. If it's a close game, I really am going to be engaged in it and I don't want to walk out. And I hate the people. And sitting where I did when we called the radio forever, there was nothing that drove me nuts more than with, you know, 6 minutes to go in the game and a 2-4 point game or a close game. And you see the parade of people starting to head for the exits. And you're going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is when they need you the most.
Yeah.
They need a loud building and they need that six man to be on their side because it's crunch time.
I'd just say, dude, don't go to work. You're not going to school the next day. We'll come up with an excuse and sleep in.
You're a hell of a dad, Nick. Now, there's a reason why you should have kids.
No, I would be a bad... I'd probably be a bad parent. But look, the game starts at 7. They're not going to miss more than one day of school.
I would probably just put them up for adoption. And then I don't have to worry about it after that. I would just be like, you know what? I'm sorry. Daddy loves sports more than you.
Adopt a few more cats.
Bye, I'm going to miss you.
Adopt a few more cats. Call it a wash.
Yeah. I'll, you know what? Maybe we'll revisit this when you can drive on your own. Then you can leave and go home and I can stay. Yeah. I think that's probably what I would do.
So Barry wore a Fox Sports 1 radio t-shirt in Austin the other day. And so I called and told on him. So we can talk about that if you want.
You know what else we need to talk about? We need to talk about you making recommendations to me that you don't use.
What do you mean?
We'll talk about it.
Oh, geez. I can't hardly wait. Hey, if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P listener line where you can call, you can text, and of course you can reach us on Twitter at The Producer Nick, at Barry is Funny, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects, and this is the one and only ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Joel, and Barry till 4. It's The Usual Suspects. Oh, boy.
Don't. Not yet.
Not yet. Not time.
Not yet.
So we have people lined up, including some fan favorites. Media experts, too.
Not yet. We're going to get this out of the way now because I forgot to bring it up yesterday.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
So about 3 weeks ago, maybe.
No, it wasn't even that much.
Yeah, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, I mentioned on air that I really wanted to get a good haircut. I wanted a good bald fade because I was tired of cutting it myself in the garage. And you said, well, let me reach out to my guy, Jason. Mm-hmm. He cuts a lot of athletes' hair and a lot of people, and I've known him forever, and he's everyone loves him, and you should go to Jason. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So you reached out, and then you gave me the info, or you told me where, and I went, and I got a bald fade, and it was amazing, and I loved it. And while I'm sitting in the chair, you know, Jason's telling me all your dirt, too, by the way. You know how the barbershop works. He's giving me the dirt.
Cool.
But then he says, well, tell Joel he's going to have to come get a haircut from me at some point. I was like, well, what do you mean? He says, he's never been here. He's never sat in my chair and gotten his hair cut. Now, how in the hell?
So let's.
How in the hell are you going to give me a recommendation that you've never used?
Because I have a lot of friends. Okay. That have used him for years and swear by him. Now, let's not let details get in the way of a good story. Because one of the first things you said is, I want to go to a black barbershop.
No. Nope.
And I want to get a haircut.
Yeah, I did say black barbershop. Yeah. That's
and
true.
So, and I said, they and I said immediately, right. And I said immediately, well, if that's the case, then I know someone. And I'm holding on to every follicle I got, for one. And for two, I don't have the hair to get that kind of cut and make it look good. I would look like... a skunk in a blender. Like, there would be spots and things. Like, I don't think it would all. But it's like when we talk about with beards, like we have bald spots.
Yeah.
That would be me if I went and got those kind of haircuts. So I go to a Supercuts and go quick. But as long as my friends, he's my friend for one, so I'm always going to support my friends. And two, if my friends and then the Rockets players and coaching staff and Texans guys and all the guys I know swear by this guy, I would say if that's what you're looking for, he's your guy, and I can also set you up so he takes care of you. So why wouldn't I do that?
Because I want someone like, what if he sucked? Like, there was something about him that you didn't know? Like, what if, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go to him to get a bald fade. You can go get a normal haircut. He cuts white people's hair normal, like just regular, whatever cut you have. He could do it all.
I know that if he sucked.
Uh-huh.
The people that I know that go on a regular basis wouldn't go back.
Fair enough.
So the fact that they continue to go back and have gone for years, and I've known him for 10, 15 years, that it would be a pretty clear indication pretty quickly I would never recommend him to anybody if they weren't going back. But if they were not only going back, but they were raving and suggesting to other people, and the minute that you said what you were looking for, I'm like, I got a guy. because I know he fits the criteria and he also does great work, according to my friends.
But that will be, yeah, but that will be like, hey, have you ever drank, I don't know, have you ever drank Miller Lite? And you're like, no. And I'm like, you should try it. All my friends drink it and they love it. You may not even like that. Like if I drink Bud Light and I'm telling you to drink Miller Lite because all my friends do, but I've never tasted it, then how can I recommend that to you?
Easy. Because what if I don't drink, but I know that all my friends, when they drink beer, that's what they drink. So then I'm not, I don't think ever once, and you can go back and listen to the tape, but I don't think ever once I said, oh my God, I go there. Oh my God. But I do know
I just assumed you would go there.
And that's
see?
Where you make an ass out of you and me. That's what assume is. But at the same time, as long as all my friends continue to go there for years on end and they recommend him and that he has a very high, you know, long list of clientele, I thought it, and because I could set you up and get you directly to him and he would take care of you, then I thought I was doing the right thing.
You did the right thing, by the way. You absolutely did the right thing. But now I know next time you give me a recommendation, mm-hmm. I have to validate that you have used this or product or service or whatever first. Because
I recommended the man groomer. I've used the man groomer. I stand by the man groomer, and I suggested the man groomer to you guys.
Yeah, I should have got that because I had had a
little red pimples are basically
in the garage.
Well,
you're passing off the little red pimples as razor burn, and
I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna. I don't know what I can.
You're not gonna out yourself.
Well, let's just say there was bleeding involved.
Oh yeah,
it didn't go smooth.
You're worried about recommendations. What is it? Do it yourselfers.
Yeah, like here's what you don't do: is use a wall trimmer that you cut your hair with.
Oh my God, Mr. Hygiene himself, and he's doing that.
Well, I mean, I clean it in between the two. You know, if you do the second floor,
I bet you gave yourself a really tight bald fade.
I'm like after I do the first floor, I clean it and then do the second floor. I don't just go straight in.
I would hope so.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. And then we get jock itch on my head. No, thank you.
Wait a minute. I don't remember having curly hair.
Yeah. Where'd these bangs come
from? How did that happen? Yeah. And where is that curl getting stuck in my blade from?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. But I'm a stupid ass. Like, I have this real short trimmer to, like, trim down my goatee and stuff. And I cut my lip with it. Like, I'm like, what's going on? I don't
know.
It's
an old trimmer.
Huh? Now you have herpes on the upper lip?
It's an old trimmer.
It's a cut, Joel.
Oh, you did. That's right. You cleaned it.
It's
that's right.
It's a cut.
You cleaned it. All right.
What'd you say?
It's probably an old trimmer is what I'm
saying. No, it's like 6-9 months old.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the hell I did. That wasn't the point of all this. Anyways, now I know. I had to bust your chops. I told Jason I would give you hell for having never been to a guy that you recommend and call a friend.
Without question.
So, all right. Well, that's done. We can move on now. I just wanted to do that.
I feel better about it.
Good. Me too.
So, you know, I guess.
You guess?
I don't know. I started out not feeling better about it. Nick, I thought you might help, but.
I think you should go just one time.
I didn't think it was that big a deal.
I think you should go. Let's just see what he could do.
Yeah, that's great. And then it won't grow back. And then I'm screwed for life.
What do you mean it won't grow back?
I'll start buying lollipops. You can call me Kojak.
Just do the sides and the bottom. You don't have to do the top. Just
be Nick's twin brother. I'm going to be sitting there without it.
Oh, I wouldn't wish that on you at all.
Yeah.
See? Then my driver's license is going to be all screwed up.
Everyone says, I look like David Fizdale, but that dude right there, if he had glasses, Nick?
I don't think so. Don't see those.
If you put my glasses on you with a goatee, you look like David
Fizdale.
You get
some safety glasses. He may have a point.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, Nick, all you got to you can buy wins in the NBA then. All you got to do is bitch about the officials. And
you look like, yeah, how's that for data? You look like David Fizdale.
After that, I'd be begging everybody to help me pay the fine.
Fizdale. Not David. David's brother, Nick.
I like it.
All right, right now I want to tell you about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. Fantastic program because it's literally driven by you, the people of Houston, Texas. If you've got a vehicle collecting dust and rust. It might not even be working anymore, and you've been thinking about what to do with it and just haven't gotten around to it. Just get in touch with the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. They'll do the rest. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. They will come out to your place. They will pick up the vehicle. They will do all the paperwork. They will give you a tax deduction. And better yet, they'll take your vehicle and turn it into resources for kids trying to get a second chance to get an education. That means if they need book money or a warm meal or eyeglasses or bus fare, any kind of resources that can help them to further their education, that's what they're going to do. That's how great the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program is, and it's generated by the people of Houston. You make the donation, they make it work for the kids. It really is that simple. Tell them, everybody, that you heard about it right here on ESPN 97.5. Right off the top, you get a $50 gift card. But again, you get a tax deduction. You get rid of that junker that you've been trying to get rid of anyway. And you also know in your heart you're making a good effort to help the kids of Houston, Texas. Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, The Usual Suspects, and usually if there's someone to blame, it's us. As we continue to roll on and roll through another show. Yesterday was a fantastic show, by the way. Vernon Maxwell is going to be addressing the fans tonight, but before he addressed the fans, he joined us yesterday. That was a great interview, which you can catch on the podcast. If you're looking for the guy that asked Stephen Adams the question that Russell Westbrook went nuts on, you can catch that interview as well as part of the podcast.
Vernon Maxwell is on the front page of ESPN975.com you want to listen.
Fantastic. That's where it should be. And again, game five tonight. We covered so much yesterday, that's where I was going with this, that we didn't get to some of the stuff coming out of game four before we get into game five. And I wanted to get your guys' take on a couple of things. One, Roberson, who for all intents and purposes is a guy that isn't even really a role player, so to speak, but he has a you know, a really certain role for the Thunder defensively, if nothing else. But he's had a really pretty damn good series.
I like him, honestly.
Yeah. But we know that his shot looks a little funky. It basically can bounce around on some birds. It gets up so high. And his free throws have been a problem. They did, as Barry mentioned, we were talking about yesterday, they do the Hacker Roberson. But there's a video that got around making the rounds yesterday of him missing a free throw and the Rockets bench just howling and laughing and basically making a big deal of it. You guys okay with that? Because it was like I was watching Twitter and I was watching people take both sides, but some people were like highly offended that guys that weren't playing and or are on the end of the bench were making fun of a guy that plays. Westbrook addressed it yesterday and said, you know, basically it must be guys that don't play that were making fun of him. And other people said, well, if you wanted to stop laughing, then make the free throws.
I'm kind of like that. You know, I mean, yeah, it's a bad look to go, I mean, over the top like they did. They were like, like running around.
Right.
And it's a bad look, but it's not the first time. I mean, one of the most famous ones was, didn't Iverson give some sort of look after somebody missed something real bad? I think it was a free throw or the motion that they were shooting with. I think there was a look from Iverson that was really funny. And kind of nowadays it's gone viral again. So it's not the first time that guys have been made fun of for being bad free throw shooters. But yeah, it's the same thing with the Hacker Roberson thing. If the way to make that stop is to make your free throws.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the same thing that you saw with Dwight and, you know, all these guys on the Rockets, the Capellas and Josh Smith of the world. So I don't have a problem with it. It's a bad look. But
I'll say this. If you're Iverson, if you're a guy on the floor and you're playing – and you make the faces and stuff like that. I mean, it's almost considered extending trash talking, but you're a player. But if you look at the guys, one of the arguments that was on Twitter yesterday was none of those guys are good enough to be on the court. He's on the court playing major minutes, and yet they're making fun of him, and they're calling out Bobby Brown. They're calling out they're calling out Decker, who, I mean, he's hurt.
I think that's a stupid argument, though. They're all in the NBA. They're all players. It's just some of them don't get minutes, but they're all NBA players. So I think to say you don't get enough minutes to make fun of somebody is dumb. I mean, either you don't think it's okay to make fun of them, or you do, but you can't base it off of how many minutes a guy plays.
Nick, where are you at on it?
Considering what's said, the kind of exchanges that that players are saying to, I mean, it goes way worse than just being laughed at. I think it's a kind of a mental thing. I think I'm okay with it. I mean, if anything, it's probably going to have Roberson continue. He's probably going to continue to miss free throws if that bench is really in his head. I'm okay with it. There's a lot worse things that are said and done on the court. They're just bench players laughing at your free throw. Get better at it.
I think the only people that should really have a problem with it is like Mike D'Antoni, because he should go down and go, look, we got him down 3-1 in the series. We got him right where we want him. The last thing we want is any bulletin board material or something like this to get some legs in the media, and then they've got extra motivation. Not that it's going to help him win the series, but I think as a coach, that's just one of those where it probably gets under your skin a little bit more. But other than that, I mean, pull up your big boy pants and realize you're playing at the highest level, and these things are going to happen. There's crap talking that we've illustrated throughout the history of time, from Kobe to Jordan to, even back Bird to farther back than that.
Did Roberson have a problem with it? Did he come out and say anything?
I can't say for sure, but
that's the only one that would matter.
I thought
to me.
The one thing that he said was just, I've got to make my free throw.
Okay, then that's it. Well, I don't care that Russell Westbrook has a problem with it. I don't care who was doing it. If Roberson were to come out and say, hey, you know what? I feel like they disrespected me as a person or whatever his complaint would be, I would listen. I might call him soft or whatever, or tell him to make his free throws. But if I don't know. I think it's being overblown. Because what I saw when it happened, and people were tweeting, vines of it or gifs of it or whatever, mm-hmm. they were like, oh, that Rockets just disrespected Roberson. And some of them would do the like crying, laughing face, but some of them were like, wow, that's cheap. That's really disrespectful.
Right.
In a serious manner. I mean, we're talking about basketball. It's a sport. It's a game. And dudes are laughing at a dude that can't make a free throw. That's on the grand scheme of things to get upset about. That's ridiculous.
Well, here's a list of players that are laughing at him, okay? Capella, Montrez, the injured Decker.
Right.
Bobby Brown.
Capella can't make free throws.
He's right.
Yeah, right.
And he's laughing.
Yeah.
Okay. Roberson should laugh at him when he misses. I mean, this is what we're talking about. This is what so, dudes in the NBA are getting upset about.
The reason why I bring it up, though,
about.
Is the minutes. The only person that really doesn't get minutes that was laughing is Bobby Brown.
Harrell's not playing.
Harrell, he's not getting in the rotation in the playoffs.
And Decker's not playing because he's hurt.
Right.
You think? Although I saw people on Twitter taking shots at him going, he wouldn't be playing anyway. He shouldn't be playing.
You think he'd be in the rotation? Because D'Antoni's only going 3 deep right now.
He's only going to 8. He's only running an 8-man rotation. But I'm not going to say he's not going to play. I think he would see spot duty.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a fourth option to get some rest to a 3 or a 4.
Right. But I think overall here, look, here's the thing that's a bigger picture issue to me. I get sick and tired, and I don't want to hear anybody say the rules should change. The fundamental game of basketball has been the same since it was basically invented with a peach basket and with some tweaks and options. But here's the thing. This is where I'm taking this. Just like people have a problem with being made fun of, and you say, and we all kind of agree, just make the free throws, at the same time, why are you going to change a rule and make it okay for guys to suck at the free throw line? You know what? It's part of the game. And if you don't like it, and we used to say this when they had Josh Smith and Dwight Howard and all the guys that we had to deal with it and endure when they couldn't make free throws. Yes, it's frustrating. Yes, it's hard to watch. Yes, it kills the momentum of a game when you're watching, especially in the playoffs. But is it part of their game? Is it part of the rules? Yes. If you want it to stop, make your free throws. But don't change the rules for DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Howard, and a handful of guys who just can't figure it out from the free throw line. That's part of the deal. Then either as a coach, don't put them in the game, or just deal with the consequences, because it is part of the game of basketball. And I don't think anyone should change the rules because you want to make good for guys that suck at the free throw line.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like the rule, mm-hmm. but as long as it is a rule, then...
Would you change the rule?
Yeah.
You would?
The hacker?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then you're just... All you're doing
There's rules that are changed all the time for the improvement of the game. Shot clock.
But you're doing that because a guy...
The shot clock takes away the purity of basketball. There was no shot clock when basketball was invented.
But what I'm saying is, you're actually rewarding a guy for not being able to make free throws.
No, you're, I mean, I don't think you're rewarding the guy. You're just, you're taking that aspect of the game out of it, which is slowing it down. If there was a way to say, you know, I don't know, but if there was something you could else you could do that was equal to that, then fine. But it's just, it, my problem isn't with the fact that it's a rule. It changes the presentation of the game. It makes it a tough watch. And I think they need to fix that. It makes a game boring. What was it? One game went almost like an extra 40 minutes because of it or something like that.
It was the Clippers Rockets when it was back and forth, and
yeah,
the Clippers were getting Howard and Smith,
they were doing
and
those DeAndre guys,
and then they were doing it DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
And believe me, trying to call that game or sitting in that building, how it can suck the life out of it. But I just don't think, like, ever since you're in Biddy Ball, you got to make free throws. And so if you can make them, or as a coach and you know he can't make them and he's not getting any better, then there are certain stretches of the game, you just got to get him out of the game. But I don't like the fact that it really alters how the game was meant to be played when all of a sudden, because five or six guys can't make free throws, you change a rule and say, now you're not allowed to foul him intentionally.
Well, why don't you change it to something else where, like, if it's an off-the-ball foul, then maybe go 1-1. Or if it's an off-the-ball foul, it's, you know, it's – two free throws and side out if they make both. But if not, then it's a 1-1. So then there's a bigger risk if you do it. So
I'm
if it's a 1-1,
okay,
you get the ball back if he misses it on a rebound, potentially. But if he makes both, they get the ball back again. So there's a it's pointless.
See, I'm more okay with that.
That's what I'm saying. There's a way to evolve the game.
Yeah, if it's about speeding up the game, but it doesn't get the guy off the hook and he still has to shoot the free throws or shoot a free throw, and if it's a 1-1 situation or whatever it is, I'm fine with that. I just don't like the fact that, you know, Dwight Howard, and it's crazy because I used to see Dwight shoot 100 free throws after every practice. After every practice. And shoot about 75%, 80%. But when the lights went on, I'm telling you what, I don't know if it was the grape shrinking up or what it was, but it was a block, but he couldn't make them.
And don't let me Google Thunder players clown on blank or Thunder players laugh
you
at blank.
You better have my back if they're clowning on blank.
Are you going to do that forever?
Yes,
I use
am.
Blank a lot.
Yes, I know.
Damn it. Forget it. But I swear, if there's something out there where they've done that, oh.
I hope so.
How hypocritical would that be? Because you know they've made fun of somebody at some point. You just know that. I mean, that's just a part of sports and dudes and people hanging out. And yeah, I think they're being too soft, too sensitive.
Well, that was a topic that I noticed on social media, and I just thought I'd bring it to the forefront. And where else to bring that but the usual suspects?
Word.
So we've covered that quite nicely. All right, we've got some calls lining up. Some people want to get in here, talk about that and some other things. Obviously, NBA front and center. But again, the Astros with a big series against the Cleveland Indians before they return home for a nice little tidy homestand. So we've got plenty to get to, and we'd love to have you participate. 713-780-3776 for the HRNP listener line. And or hit us up on Twitter. We're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, continue to roll on. Evidently, people have quite the opinions on this free throw shooting.
Mm-hmm.
They're chiming in.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a chance to look at that video, Barry, with DeMarcus Cousins making fun of Joakim Noah?
So DeMarcus Cousins makes fun of Joakim Noah. At one point, Chris on Twitter sent me a Vine, Chris Davis did, of DeAndre Jordan shooting a free throw and airballing it, and Enes Kanter starts laughing. In fact, he covers his face, maybe because he didn't want to laugh, but he did. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, yeah, he's not running around like the Rockets bench was, but the point is that this happens. This isn't an isolated incident. You know, we brought up Iverson, and now you've got DeMarcus Cousins, and you got Enos Kanter. So get over it. Stop being a baby. I mean, it's a grown man sport.
Yeah, I mean,
make your free throws, and all that goes away.
Rockets were front and center in all this mess for years, and they just had to endure it. There were plenty of people that had plenty of opinions, both outwardly and in private, about just how bad it gets. I mean, the one thing that I will say is it is hard to accept how much it slows the game down. Because the game you were referring to, that Clippers-Rockets game, that game was flying along, and it was at a great pace, and all of a sudden, when the first foul happened, you could hear like a collective groan in the seats, and literally, I think the quarter was almost half over. The second half of the third quarter probably took as long as the first half.
Ugh.
It was just excruciating.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. People are on Twitter saying, well, take them out of the game. Make it, if you miss both, you get subbed out. Well, you still have to slow the game down for that. Now you gotta stop, get a sub in, and that's going to take extra time. I mean, there's ways, I think, to resolve it where if they do hit both and you're doing that away from the ball, like I said, I think 1-1, and if he hits both, side out to the free throw shooting team. Now there's more risk. Because, again, most people do it because – they say on average, every trip down the floor, that team will score a point.
One. Yeah, average on points per possession is one.
So by doing it, there's a better chance that they don't score anything as opposed to that 1 point on average. Because, they're going to make one every once in a while. So that way it hurts them because now you're potentially giving up one for four
Due to what you just said. Craig used to have a great stat that he'd bring up a lot, and he obviously spent some time asking the analytics guys. But the fact of the matter is, because on every possession you average 1 point by the end of the game, that as long as you make one of two every time you go to the line, then the team shooting the ball is winning.
Yep.
They are actually winning. As much as it doesn't seem like that because you think, well, he's missing one of two as well. He's only shooting 50%. But if you shoot 50% from the line, you're actually winning when you do it by points by possession. So he used to bring that up.
I don't know. I still seem to be okay with it. I know it does elongate the game, but I think it's okay. I have no problem with the intentional fouling as long as it's within the rules. What else are you going to do? And I do tend to agree that it would bother the person who prides himself on making free throws. It would totally bother that person.
JC Escobar on Twitter, the real JC, reminded me, it was Chuck Hayes that Allen Iverson was laughing at. And I'm going to tweet the video out.
Oh,
and he basically, I found it.
Okay.
I just Googled it. He basically calls him for traveling at the free throw line and starts laughing. And you can see him mouth the words, yo, he traveled. He traveled. And then he makes the funny face and laughs. That's mocking him openly.
Yeah,
so it's not as flamboyant as the Rockets did it, but you call a travel on someone while they're shooting
hilarious.
A free throw?
But I think that the point then that I saw on social media, and it wasn't about that, but was that there's enough trash talking in the NBA, and Nick, you kind of touched on this, but by the guys that play the game. So if you're in the rotation and you're a consistent player in the league, then you're allowed to talk, but if you're Bobby Brown, people just feel like you shouldn't be able to talk.
I think that's ridiculous. I mean, you don't?
No, I mean, look, I just think it's a bad look. I know that when Carroll Dawson was the general manager, like they were so over the top worried about bulletin board material for the other team that it was just stressed from quotes and, you know, and what the team, you know, encouraging players when they talk to the media to anything else just to avoid, even if you were giving away T-shirts like tonight, but you were saying something about the other team, even if it was just like a beat LA. They were that concerned about stuff like that. They wanted to border on no extra motivation anywhere. And then other teams are just, you know, other general managers, other basketball ops, either they don't care or they're like, no, screw that. Let's go right at them.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, again, it's philosophically, you have a certain opinion about how you feel about that kind of stuff. Some teams are worried about bulletin board material. Other people are saying, go ahead, do it, because if we're the team that we think we are, we should beat you no matter what motivation you have.
One more, and then because I know we're going to – but Stacey Mason on Twitter has another go in. How about the team that gets intentionally fouled gets inside position on the free throws as well? So you shoot a one-and-one, but they get inside position for the rebound.
That's not bad.
If they make two, they get side out as well. Now there's risk. Now you got to really weigh, is that 1 point worth it? Because you're potentially risking a 1-on-1 missed and they get the rebound and a putback, or you're risking 4 or 5 points.
And I've heard, and again, it defeats the purpose of the whole rule, but I've heard that in a foul situation, let the team that got fouled pick the foul shooter.
Oh, that's another good one. That's another good one. So, yeah, I like it.
That's something to consider. All right, we've got some guys that want to chime in. I know one is a basketball coach, so I know that there's going to be plenty of opinions. But let's go with John first. John wants to talk about the free throw shooting. John, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good, man. How are you doing?
What's up, John?
I'm doing all right. Man, I was going to chime in and say that you can't change the rule because a handful of guys suck at shooting free throws. I mean, there's a handful of guys in the NFL that suck at catching the football out of the backfield. Running backs are catching the football out of the backfield. You can't go in and change it and say, okay, on third down, no passing to the backfield, or if you do, lost 5 yards and lost the down.
That's kind of my point, was that you can't change the rules because a certain amount of the guys can't shoot. But I understand Barry's point, which is you're still trying to speed the game up too, because at the end of the day, part of your revenue is generated from a fan base that only watches on television, and it's hard to watch.
I mean, you think about it. There's 40-second play clocks. There's, shot clocks. There's the game evolves, because the game, don't forget that the game is here. The game is here to make money, but these games were intended as entertainment. So don't let that get lost in everything else. These guys know. I mean, that's why you can't hit the quarterback now. That's why, I mean, offense – sales in every sport. And so it kills the game. The problem is it's so isolated, it doesn't kill enough games. If every team had a terrible free throw shooter that played significant minutes and this happened in every game, you bet your ass this would change
that year.
How
many games is it happening? How many games is it happening?
I would probably say 10 to 15%. The problem is a lot of these guys that are really good, they're really good big men, and their teams make the playoffs, and then it gets magnified because there's so few games going on in the playoffs. So it's magnified now.
And at the end of the day, how much longer are they elongating the games? Like 20 minutes, 30 minutes at the most?
It depends. I mean, sometimes
it can go longer than that, Nick. I mean, because you figure it's not just the third quarter. It'll happen again up until the final 2 minutes of the game when you can't do it anymore. It'll happen. And so when you think about this, let's think about DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Howard, Roberson are three for sure. Josh Smith isn't in the league anymore. I'm just trying to think of teams that have at least one of the guys that can't make free throws. But essentially, I think it's less than 10. I think it's 10 to 12 players at best that are really that bad, that coaches would actually focus and say, we're going to play hacka with this person.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a good way if there's a, if the Clippers are going on a run and it's the second quarter. I mean, hell, look at Golden State. Look what they did last night to start the game. If they were to have DeAndre Jordan on that team, you need to stop that run. Guess what? You're going to start fouling DeAndre Jordan in the first quarter because you're down by 23. And that could potentially change the game. Now they got to take him out, or they got to do something about it, and he's got to make his free throws.
It was a momentum
stopper.
That's
a way to come back. Yeah. It's not just a fourth quarter thing.
Right. We talked about how, sometimes there's those momentum runs and you just don't know how to stop it.
Yep.
Well, that's one of those deals. I don't disagree. You could do that at any time, especially to a team like Golden State, because that there are times that you're just at their mercy because they're so loaded, they're so talented, and they play their way better than anybody that you're like, holy cow, we are getting blitzed. And as a coach, if you know that it's going to suck the air out of the building and it's, people aren't going to, especially if you're on their floor, that it's going to take their crowd out of it, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense. It's smart.
For sure. All right. So, Doc, you want to get in here next. Doc, what's up?
How y'all doing today?
All right, Doc, how you doing?
Oh, not too bad. I got to chime in on what you guys are saying. And as far as changing rules, and let me ask you this. I'm hoping one of you have played ball in school, whether it be middle school, high school, whatever. And the first thing your coach has told you, if somebody is getting by you, foul him. That's one of the basic rules. Send him to the free throw line and see if he can make two. You just don't give up a layup. Layup rules and things like that. Well, I started to see the changes, and I've been mad at David Stern for 20 years for changing the rules for these high schoolers that come in and don't know how to play. And he's changed the game so much that guys don't even attempt to play defense no more. You got guys driving the baseline, and one of the basic things that I learned as a young guy coming up, you cut the baseline out, put your foot on the baseline, And that's still some things. That's still some of the things that I teach. If I see a kid go baseline on you, you best believe you're going to come over and sit with me. Because at the end of the day, you know, we still have to play defense. So when you all are talking about changing the rules because guys can't hit free throws, they make millions of dollars at their craft. You should be wanting to work at your craft and improve your craft in order to learn how to shoot free throws. There's no way I would change the rules. And if you couldn't shoot free throws, you should at least be able to shoot 65% from the free throw line. 65% as a big man, maybe 75 as a small forward or a guard. But you should at least shoot 65%. If you can shoot 65%, you can play on the floor. But if you can't at least shoot 65%, come over here and sit with me. And you shouldn't be paid millions of dollars to do that. Guys, I'll hang up and listen. Hey, man, y'all do a great job. Love listening to you all every day, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Doc. You know, I still play. And I don't know if I agree with all of that, because I think that in some cases you look for weak side help if a guy blows your doors off driving past you. But at the same time, you can't tell me, and a lot of Doc's points were the points I was making, but on the flip side, I'm not going to go with the 65-75% rule, and if you don't shoot that, you don't play, because there's not a team in this league that wouldn't take DeAndre Jordan no matter what he shoots from the free throw line.
I was about to say, you got a dude that's shooting, what, 70% from the field?
Yeah.
I'm not taking that dude out.
Always up for defensive player of the year and on all first team all defense.
Averaging 2 blocks a game. I'm not taking that dude out. No.
And you're not. I'll live with the missed free throws. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
wasn't Nene about as bad of a free throw shooter as Dwight Howard? I don't see hacking Nene all the time.
No, he's gotten better. He actually has improved. And that's, you look at Tim Duncan. That's a guy that improved shooting free throws. So it can be done.
That's a great point, actually, because Duncan came in as a really
Duncan
awful free
was
throw
garbage
shooter.
From the free throw line. And he was good. I mean, you didn't want to foul him, because he was, what, 70-80%?
He got better at the end. Yeah. I don't know if he was quite 80, but he definitely improved. But again, that's kind of what it all comes down to for me. Just like anything else in life, you may not look. Gary Payton and Jason Kidd came into this league with a 25 letter alphabet with no J in sight. But guess what? They worked their ass off and got shooting coaches until they became better. In Jason Kidd's case, top 5 all time in 3-point shooting. So you can fix it if you work hard enough. I don't believe the mental block issue. I believe that if you suck at free throw shooting, if you work hard enough on it, you can fix it.
Duncan shot 59.9 in 2003. That was his lowest year ever. He shot 81.7% in 2012.
So he had a year over 80%. And what was he for his career?
69.6.
Yeah. I didn't think for his career it was 80, but I know for a fact
he
improved.
No, because
he
had too many
greatly.
Lows. He averaged for a long time mid to low 60s.
Yeah, I mean, I totally knew he improved. I didn't think he ever got it to where overall he was over 80. Yeah. But look, they definitely wouldn't play Hack a Duncan late in his career, because he'll knock him down. And even in the OKC game, look, they tried it with Nene. What did he do? He made him. So then they got off his rear end. If you make him, he had two bouts. One he missed, one of two, I think, and the other one he made them both.
Remember the year they did that with Oshik? Omer Asik?
Oh, God. Yeah, same
Remember?
Thing.
Yep. Same thing. And then he started making them later in the series, and they had to stop doing it.
And so that's my point. Carroll Dawson worked with him tirelessly, and he listened. Now, I'm not calling out others. Maybe I am. But Asik listened, and he got his free throw shooting by the end of the year above 65%.
Yeah.
So you can fix it, but don't make a rule to bail them out so that they don't work harder at it. Just work harder at it. All right, we got plenty more to get to. Lots of calls waiting, including one that we can't wait to get to. And lots of other topics to cover as well. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line, where you can text or call or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.